greed, deception, abuse of power, that's no plan. I'm the enemy, because I like to think. I like to read. I'm into freedom of speech and freedom of choice. I'm the kind of guy who likes to sit in a greasy spoon and wonder, gee, should I have the T-bone steak or the jumbo rack of barbecue ribs with a side order of gravy fries? I want high cholesterol. I want to eat bacon and butter and buckets of cheese, okay? I want to smoke Cuban cigars the size of Cincinnati and a non-smoking session. I want to run through the streets naked with green jello all over my body reading Playboy magazine. Why? Because I suddenly might feel the need to, okay, pal? I've seen this. Do you know what it is? It's a 47-year-old virgin sitting around in his beige pajamas drinking a banana broccoli shake singing I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
And greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, jackbooted thugs and patriots alike. It's that time again, folks. It's time for the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. And today's date is Tuesday, June the 24th. As we look up here on the Freedom Calendar, Tuesday, June 24th, It is definitely good to be back with you again, one of our many shows here on the My View Matters Radio Network, and we'll start out as we always do with This Week in History. Now, a lot of stuff on the calendar this week for history as far as constitutional goes, but we will tell you that go back to this week in 1834, so we're talking about 180 years ago this week, Congress established a 16-to-1 ratio of silver to gold. So I'll let you all think about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. Congress establishing a 16-to-1 ratio of silver to gold this week in 1834. And then, of course, we had the Townshend Acts, kind of the precursor to the American Revolution, this week in 1767. It's about all I really see on the Liberty calendar, the Freedom calendar, if you will. I look forward a little bit to next week. We know, of course, next week we're going to have Independence Day week. Not going to call it 4th of July week. Going to call it Independence Day week because that's what we celebrate here. We don't celebrate a 4th of July. Every country has a 4th of July, but this is our Independence Day week coming up. And the first quote we'll give you today, the quote of the week, if you will, Edward Gibbon, "The discretion of the judge is the first engine of tyranny." So there you go, folks. Now, we know a lot of stuff going on in local news here. For those of you all who are here in Louisville, Kentucky, we heard the big story come down today, the big grand jury come down, if you will, from our black riots that we had in Louisville back a few months ago, the black mob riots. I'm not going to be politically correct about it. Screw that. We know we had these black mob riots in Louisville, Kentucky. And today we found out that a grand jury declined to indict these four. You can call them adults, you can call them men, you can call them kids. I guess we'll get in trouble if we call them boys because then we'll be told we're racist. But basically what came down just, honestly, in the last couple of hours were that the grand jury would not indict these four on the downtown mob violence charges. That was cute, watching them on TV, and they already had their T-shirts on that said, "Justice is unjust." I wonder if they're going to go burn those T-shirts in effigy now because a bunch of their fans or friends or family or well-wishers there had T-shirts on that said, "Justice is unjust." So I guess they changed their mind today, of course. We had the story of Shaquaz Allen, 18 years old, Tyrone Booker, 19 years old, Jaron Bush, 21 years old, and Craig Dean, 20 years old, that were before the grand jury today. And the assistant Commonwealth attorney, Leland Hulbert, said the lack of available evidence made it, quote, very hard, unquote, to bring a case that could prove they were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Remember, it's not guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's some BS the media teaches you. It's beyond a reasonable doubt. So if you don't have a reasonable doubt, hypothetically, you could convict them. And their supporters, of course, called them the misidentified four because they were arrested right after the woman who was robbed at gunpoint near 38th Street was about a block away from where they were. This was in the middle of the black riots that we had back in March, March 22nd, the black riots, one of many days in Louisville that the media finally had to cover it. And the Louisville Metro Police alleged that on March 22nd, these four approached a woman at a bus stop at Amy Avenue and Market Street, according to a police report. Police also said that one of them, who is not identified as to which one, but police said one of these four, pointed a revolver at the woman and demanded her purse. And then the group, including the gunman, ran towards 39th Street. Police arrested the four. They union booked them on assorted charges, including robbery. And Police Chief Steve Conrad said that the victim's fiance was able to positively identify the young men. I guess we'll call them young men. That'll get us out of trouble because I don't think if what they did was truly what happened here that I should call them men because we really wouldn't do this. And we can't call them boys because then we'll be told they were racist. So we'll call them young men. And two of them were charged a week later with assault and other charges from another incident at First and Liberty Streets. In that case, police said the two threw a garbage can at cars and punched a woman who was driving a car. And, of course, as for their arrest on robbery charges, Tyrone Booker Jr. said that they were, quote, just sitting on the porch near 39th Street when the four police cruisers arrived. Now, I don't know if these guys are supposed to be in school because they are high school slash college age. And it's the wee hours of a morning on March 22nd. Guess I'll go up here and look at the Liberty calendar, the Freedom calendar, and find out what day of the week that was on, because I don't recall. Oh, that was on a Friday night slash Saturday, so I guess that's understandable why in the wee hours of the morning they might be sitting out on somebody's porch. I guess that makes more sense, right? And police arrested them. They booked them on these assorted charges, like we said, including robbery. And the assistant Commonwealth attorney said that the gun used in the robbery and the items that were stolen were never recovered. Of course, 19-year-old Tyrone Booker Jr. said that, you guessed it, this was all about racial profiling. He said that's why they were arrested, because it was racial profiling. These guys are never going to understand that you can call it racial profiling, but guess what? If they were looking for a out-of-shape, young to middle-aged white man, they would come after me. But they were looking for young black kids who were committing crimes, so they went after them. So they can call it racial profiling all they want. And here they came out with this statement that they believe that the racial profiling was the basis of their arrest, but that, quote, we will recover. They'll recover. Nobody assaulted them, but they'll recover. But we won't forget. It was a lesson learned about how the streets really are, he said. So I don't really know what that means, how the streets really are. I sincerely doubt that they're saying they learned about how the black mob scene was. I sincerely doubt, and yes, I'm speculating, that they are saying that they know that the streets are dangerous and they shouldn't be out at that time of night. I sincerely doubt that's what they're saying. Another one of them said that they continue to have faith that he and his cousins would get justice. So a moment ago they were all, okay, they were friends, but now I guess they're cousins. I don't know the details here. And Jan Waddell, the attorney representing the men, said that he is considering, Jan is a guy, I guess. Again, the story gets more interesting as we go along. But Jan Waddell says he is considering legal action against the Louisville Metro Police Department. He says that the police conducted, quote, suggestive identification procedures that led to the arrest. Basically, he says he wants to change police procedures like this. So what he's saying, he's giving you the politically correct version, the politically correct terminology for the fact that these guys looked a lot like the ones who committed the crimes. God forbid we arrest people who look a lot like the ones who committed the crimes, because they might be the ones who committed the crimes. God forbid, right? We can't have that. We can't arrest people who may have committed crimes. Now, Police Chief Conrad downplayed the role that race played in the arrest. These young men weren't arrested because they were black. They were arrested because they fit the description. They fit the description given to us by a witness. Evidence collected via cell phone data, and I don't like people collecting cell phone data, but Waddell said that evidence collected via cell phone data established that the young men were not present in the area at the time of the robbery. Without the technology, it would have been the same old story. Here we go. Play your violins, folks, or play your jam box, play your play your turntable for this one. It would have been the same old story of a white woman identifying a black man committing a crime. And what are the chances of getting off on that? We really don't know. I guess when Waddell says getting off on that, this is an attorney using this kind of language, I guess that's what they mean by is getting away with it or not being convicted or getting out of the case. Well, they were found today that they were not going to be indicted by the grand jury. So that's that. The case remains open and new evidence could be presented to grand jurors. Future charges are still possible. But as for these men and what they're concerned, the case is over. Booker said the last few months have been a setback for his future plans of attending college and getting a job. He said it's been difficult to get a job with the pending charges. Finding a job is also a top priority for Jerron Bush, who has a son he supports. And we just said Jerron Bush was how old? Jerron Bush is 21. He has a son he supports. Well, we're glad he's supporting his son. As for Tyrone Booker Jr., he says his immediate plans are already set. He wants to go home, eat a big dinner, and spend time with his girlfriend. They're acting like they were doing a hard time because they had to go before a grand jury and they were not indicted. I don't see a story that they were imprisoned for long. I don't see a story that they were in a cage. So I don't know what the problem is here. Didn't the justice do what it was supposed to do? You know, there are little shirts that said justice is unjust. That was cute. Their little shirts say that, but I'm pretty sure they're happy with the results. Don't know. Just saying. Anyway, moving right along, we want to get into the Jefferson County Public Schools state audit. Do we want to get into the fact that Jefferson County Public Schools plans to review salaries, analyze staffing levels, and inventory in response to the critical state audit earlier this year? I'll say this, we were a little disappointed. We heard that Adam Edelin would not run for governor, and that doesn't mean that we like to see politicians do this lifetime politics thing. We don't want to sound like hypocrites. So he'll do a good job as auditor, and I don't see how anybody will beat him for auditor if he does run for re-election as he says he's going to do. But for these public school folks, and I'm trying to choose my words wisely and be kind to our public school employees, but for these public school administrators who kept saying that this was political, that Edelin was doing this because he wanted to be governor, while we have a school board full of people who have been on there for decades, you know, that's okay, of course. But the fact is the auditor's report on the Jefferson County Public Schools brought up a lot of old questions. Some of the same questions that were raised in a 2011 audit, now over 3 years ago, by the Phi Delta Kappa, such as, why are the central administrator's salaries so high? Why do the questions endure? And of course, JCPS Superintendent Donna Hargan says, you've got to prioritize. They gave her a glaring review. I guess she had her third review or whatever this week, and the school board continued to kiss her ass. But see, shortly after being hired, she said it was going to be a priority to reorganize her central office, which included reducing her core staff and supposedly saving Jefferson County Public Schools, translation, saving the tax dollars, around $4.4 million, but it didn't change the salary structure that is included in Adam Edelin's report. Do didn't change it. Those salaries happened over time, said Hargens. They didn't certainly happen overnight. That's our answer, folks. Jefferson County Public Schools has significantly more central office people making over $100,000 than the other peer school districts. If JCPS is going to become serious about reducing the high-paid central office staff, it's going to have to decide how to do it. For example, the district could reduce the number of highly paid staff through attrition and reassignments and by waiting for people to retire. And the officials say they're not sure which options, if any, they'll consider. Further, the audit says that school board members do not appear to have a depth of understanding to examine or question the budget effectively without significant reliance on JCPS staff. That's a problem considering they're in charge of a $1.2 billion with a B dollar budget. The Jefferson County Public Schools budget is $1.2 billion with a B dollars. This is why we keep telling you folks, you got to get people to run for school board. You have 7 elected nonpartisan school board spots that run the county board of education. 3 of them were elected last year. Ironically, the other 4 are all up this year. And you have until August to file for these offices. We've been telling folks, you really, really, really got to get out there and file for these offices. We really think that you need to run for school board. Could you imagine if all 4 of the offices were won by liberty-oriented candidates? Could you imagine? We wouldn't have to worry about all these audit reports if our school board would be responsible and grow up instead of just kiss the ass of the superintendent. So Adam Edlin, who was the auditor for this case, says he is going to run for auditor again instead of running for governor, or rather than run for governor, he would seek a second term to his current position. And what he said this past week was that the campaign would require difficult sacrifices of his family and from his work as auditor. And those are sacrifices he's unwilling to make at this time. Now, we usually do not give government officials the benefit of the doubt. I'll go back to my quote that I put out there on the social networks this week. My quote on the social networks was by the late, great George Carlin, who died 6 years ago this week. And George Carlin said, I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command, not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me, nothing, zero. So on the heels of me quoting that, we usually don't give government officials the benefit of the doubt. But what if Adam Edlin really does want to continue to be a good auditor? Maybe that's where he wants to be, and hell, nothing's going to stop him from running for governor in another 4 years. We're still hoping, and no, we don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but we're still hoping that our next governor will be a Republican and not just a Republican with a little R in front of their name, not a Republican name only, but we're hoping it's going to be current Agriculture Commissioner James Comer. So nothing would stop Adam Edlin from running against Comer. Hell, he could run for another 4 years as auditor. He could do a great job as auditor, and we know Kentucky is still predominantly Democrat, so he could run for governor after that. So no one's going to stop him from running for governor. But he said that his first consideration is about making sure that he can swear the obligation which comes with running a campaign with the obligations he has at home. That's what he told Pure Politics last week. So he's not going to run for governor. And we have the school board full of people who've been there 10, 20, 30 years saying that Edelman was going to run for governor, and this was all political. But he's been a pretty good auditor for the state of Kentucky. He's shown integrity. He's shown competence. Maybe now he'll actually be able to finish out some cases that his office has started. See, when an elected official does the work for a better Kentucky, it seems the money people that control our politics don't seem to want to put money behind the candidate. Isn't it interesting how that works? We've heard the Courier-Journal people out there talk about how you got to be a big money-spending candidate for them to cover you. So basically, the globalists or the banksters have to come in and give you a bunch of special interest money. And then the Courier-Journal and the TV stations, hell, I won't even say radio. They don't do any radio coverage on local news here, except for I will have to give credit to our friends over at WFPL. They're about the only guys that do any kind of radio coverage. So you have WFPL, who is pretty fair, but throw them out. And the TV stations and the newspaper aren't going to cover you unless you raise the big money. And then when you raise the big money, guess what? Then the Courier-Journal will say, oh, you're a viable candidate now. Too much money controlling the state's future forward, folks. Now, you all might say, well, Adam Edelman couldn't beat Jack the Con Man Conway, and maybe that's why he's not going to run for governor. God forbid if you can't beat Jack the Con Man Conway. I would agree that I don't think he can beat James Comer, but I think he'd be a far better candidate than Jack Conway, and I guess they're going to let him just walk in to the Democrat nominee, the Democrat nomination for governor. Nobody would dare challenge the Con Man Conway. But the blueprint for anybody interested in being elected to a statewide office, or any office for that matter, is turn your head, close your eyes, hold your ears, and speak only from the talking points you're given. Don't go off the script. If you get caught off guard, just start walking out the door. See, the track record for this is nearly perfect. As long as you don't get caught with a what's the old quote? You don't get caught with a dead woman or a live boy. If you don't get caught with a peccadillos as far as the bedroom goes, if you don't get caught with underage children or mistresses, hell, we had Flipper Paul Patton. They loved Flipper Paul Patton, and he was sitting there bubbling over with tears when he was cheating on his wife. He was a popular governor. And I would still say Bashir has been the luckiest politician ever. When you can run, and basically they just clear the path for you to run for governor, and you're running against the first Republican governor, sitting governor, Ernie Fletcher, in 30-some years, not much of a campaigner, not much of a record to run on, and then next time around you get David Williams, I think it makes you the luckiest candidate out there. But that's what they do. They go by their script. They stick to their talking points. They don't go off the script. And if you do get caught off guard, you just walk out the door. There are less than 100 individuals that run for these elected officers in Kentucky that, I want you to stop and think about it for a minute. You look at all the elected officials and who runs for office. Do you think this is what the founding fathers had in mind when they started the country? They believe in something called the rule of law. It wasn't about read your talking points, get the globalist bankster money, do a good social network, and stay out of trouble. It was a lot more than that. You're listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. After the bottom of the hour break, we will get into our national stories, and we'll talk about the neocons and the war party, and we got some special elections and primary elections going on tonight. So if you are already on the line and you want to get on, just press the 1 key and we'll get you on the air. Or if you haven't called in yet, as always, the call-in numbers, 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show.
first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network, and we are awaiting some good news in Mississippi tonight. We're hoping that Chris McDaniel will beat the establishment hack rhino Thad Cochran tonight in the runoff down there in Mississippi for U.S. Senator. Used to be that we had two parties, they claimed, the Elephant Party and the Donkey Party. In reality, we just have the Uniparty now. It's just one party, the Uniparty. They have mascots. There's the rat and there's the rhino. We should start talking about it that way, the Uniparty, with their two mascots, the rat and the rhino, instead of pretending like there's a two-party system. Instead of pretending like that there's a donkey and an elephant, there's really just a rat and a rhino, and the differences between the GOP and the rats is indistinguishable now. Is it just unbelievable that the establishment GOP would rather lose to the Democrats than to a Tea Party guy? That's the way it seems. The Democrats have to feed, transport, and God knows what else to get their folks out to vote. They're bought and paid for. But the GOP wing of the Uniparty, the one with the rhino, is loyal to the rat part of their Uniparty. Anybody else that comes in there is an interloper to them. It's an endanger to their power. Clearly, Senator McConnell would much rather be Senate Minority Leader than be out of office. And the fact is, the establishment is panicking that Chris McDaniel may beat Thad Cochran tonight. Former Representative Ron Paul, a hero of ours and a friend of the show, former Reverend Ron Paul told Breitbart News tonight, this is just coming in from an hour or two ago as the thunder rolls in the background here in the local Louisville area. I guess we have storms coming in. Sorry about that distraction. But Ron Paul told the Breitbart News in an exclusive that the Cochran campaign is panicking that McDaniel may win the runoff. They're panicking, I guess, Dr. Paul said, when asked about the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, at the request of Mitch McConnell, raising $800,000 for Thad Cochran one night. Well, here came Bloomberg, former New York City Mayor Rhino Neocon Hack Bloomberg, big government nanny stater Bloomberg, pumped another $250,000 into Mississippi on Cochran's behalf. I think it's a sign of what's happening and how desperate they are, Ron Paul said. I don't think the money does them any good, but I think what happens is when all these people come in like Bloomberg it makes the case for our side because Bloomberg has a tremendous political image. The more they came, the more I emphasized it, Paul said. It seems that Cochran's campaign doesn't have a good political judgment allowing the Bloomberg donation to happen. And Ron Paul points to the fact that when he ran for his first term, the second time around for the House, after he took 12 years off, during which he was practicing medicine, the GOP establishment all came in for his opponents. The more they came, the more I emphasized it. He said, why do you need somebody from Washington, D.C. or out of state to tell you how to vote? So I turned it into a positive, and the people resented it. The more the people came from out of state, the more they resented it. I think they might be what's happening over there. Why does somebody from New York City think they can tell people in Mississippi how to vote? And that's a very good point. It's bad enough you're going to Washington, D.C., the district of cesspool there, to represent your state, but then to have New York City tell you how to vote? Ron Paul endorsed Chris McDaniel over Thad Cochran, and Ron Paul said the American people are sick and tired of what is going on. Nobody seems to be happy, and everybody worries about Washington not getting along. And why don't the Republicans work with the Democrats? He said, I think the problem is they're in denial that we're not able to do the things that we used to do when wealth was unlimited and we had economic growth and people wanted to come here to produce. And that's kind of like what my good friend Ed Martin, who does the show here with Ed Springsteen, has said before, that they don't want to be around sometimes when the you-know-what hits the fan. Well, the neocons do, because that's their power base. Again, when you're in a uniparty and you're represented by either the rat or the rhino, you feel entitled. You feel entitled to be there. You think it's your rite of passage. How dare anybody take that away from you, especially somebody who is liberty-oriented. Anyway, in this exclusive that Ron Paul did with Breitbart, he talks about that we're all arguing over Republicans and Democrats in Washington over whose special interests get the best deal. Nixon once said we're all Keynesians now. We all believe in the same system of economics back in the 1970s, and he was right. The Republicans became that just like the Democrats did. Now it's changing because it doesn't work. The Federal Reserve doesn't work. The Federal Reserve, folks, is neither federal nor a reserve. It doesn't work. And Ron Paul says he thinks that McDaniel is someone who will shake up business as usual in Washington, and he has proven himself as a solid conservative on the campaign trail. I think people want to hear the truth, Ron Paul said. They want the person to stick to their guns. I've had so many people over the years tell me, well, I don't know, Ron. I don't agree with you on this or that, but I know you're going to do exactly what you say you're going to do. And I can believe what you say. That goes a long way. And Paul added that the old adage for big government Republicans like Cochran, that they can bring money back to their states, a central theme of his campaign, doesn't work because people can see through the spin. And like I told you, folks, the spin goes round and round. The globalist banksters bring the money in big bags. It's like they're gamblers in Vegas, and they're bellying up to the big money window, and they're bringing all that money, and they're pushing it all in on their neocon or their socialist candidate. Then that candidate has the money, and they say, woohoo, look at me. Look at all this money I got. Then the mainstream media, the junk food media, as I call them, the Courier Journal and the local TV stations and the ABC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox comes in. And they all say, oh, yeah, you're a legitimate candidate because you got money and you're controlled by the banksters now. But in reality, the people are moving on. Career politicians' days have passed, folks. The only thing up for discussion is who are you going to replace a career politician with? The failure is there. The question is, are we going to resort to believing in a dictatorship type of government? More authoritarian, more NSA, more control. Remember NSA? You know them. They're the only part of government that actually listens. They peep while you sleep. Or are we going to say it's time to reassert ourselves because we believe in personal liberty and free markets? So like I said, we got this runoff. And we got to wonder, I don't know for sure what time the polls close in Mississippi. And then there's the question, beyond when the polls close, when does the voting stop? And the reports I've read don't indicate a large turnout. Again, you have some Democratic areas, and this is a runoff. So who knows? Traditionally, runoffs are very poor turnout motivators. They had one runoff in a Democratic race for Congress in Mississippi, so there'll be a little bit of turnout there. Some people are showing up who voted in the Democratic primaries. They don't really understand how these primaries work, and I've tried to explain to you folks, it's not that I like the way the primary works, but it's where you better choose to join one of the parts of the uniparty. You can either wear the rat on your collar, or you can wear the rhino on your collar. And if you wear the rat or the rhino, then you get to vote in the publicly funded primaries. The difference is that the rat party sign understands the power, and they have no qualms about using it to further their agenda. While the rhino side does nothing when they have power, they just sit on their ass. So we've got primaries going out there tonight. We have Oklahoma primary. We have the Mississippi runoff. We have a GOP primary for governor in Colorado tonight. We have another GOP House primary in Colorado. There's a New York Democratic primary. And the New York GOP primary. So there's a lot of those primaries going on out there tonight. And again, the establishment is about to pee in their depends because if Chris McDaniel beats Thad Cochran, after we saw what happened with Eric Cantor, after what we saw happen in that race, after we saw all the BS and all the garbage that the McConnell machine threw at us, Addison Mitchell, Jerome McConnell Jr., we saw polls, folks, that showed McDaniel leading by 8 points over Cochran. People are busy telling you that you got to be worried about what the Muslims are doing and what the boogeyman's doing over in the cave, and the boogeyman's going to come get you. And I keep trying to tell you, I'm a lot more worried about what the so-called Americans in their three-piece suits in the state and national capitals are doing to you than I am what the boogeyman's doing in a cave somewhere. I don't really care what Muslims in Islamic countries think about America. I don't really care if we disagree or if we have civil debates or conversations about religion and philosophy with them. That's not the important parts. The important parts is what your government is doing to take away your liberties. Do you want the bigger government that the uniparty is going to give you, the rhinos and the rats? You want more like Dick Cheney, who had the balls to try to attack Rand Paul. And then here came Alan West, the affirmative action hack. Let me tell you about Alan West for a minute. Let me tell you about this guy. A lot of Republicans who have the white guilt. I never had the damn white guilt, so this wasn't a problem for me. But a lot of Republicans who had the white guilt said, oh my gosh, we gotta get Alan West. We gotta get a Herman Cain. We gotta get an Alan West. We gotta get one of these quote unquote conservative black guys to run for office. Well, Alan West came out and called Rand Paul a simpleton. So let's remind people what Alan West is. He's just a good old fashioned neocon. He is of the camp that believes in war. He is the war party. War is like a necessity for them to be involved. They must have these open wars going on. What other country besides the United States of America has been in perpetual war since World War II? That's the uniparty. That's the war party. There's the rats and there's the rhinos. You look at China You look at Russia, they're sitting over there, they're as big as they can be geographically, population-wise, and all these other countries in the world, the values, and they're saving their troops for a real deal one day. A real deal one day, but you know, are we that vulnerable and that insecure? Are we all troublemakers? This question is, are the puppet masters the troublemakers? See, our troops are pawns for agendas, not our security. That's the way I see it. The troops have become pawns for the agendas. You would think that when an Army Lieutenant Colonel like Alan West serves one undistinguished term in the House before getting his ass bounced back out by the voters, and now all of a sudden they look at him as a potential president because he's a Republican and he's black. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Somebody with a political science degree is calling a doctor and a surgeon a simpleton. You do the math. I trust doctors and surgeons a lot more than I trust political scientists, if you want to use that term. I saw some idiot on PMSNBC the other day was declaring herself a political scientist. I mean, I guess Alan West should get a promotion after this. He should make it all the way up to 4-star douchebag. I think previously he was a 3.5-star douchebag, so it's great that he's moving up, right? I knew people who supported his first campaign, but not in his second campaign. They saw through it. And yeah, it's really cool for people to say stuff like, oh, the Tea Party sucks. And it's really cool when some asshole runs into our chat room and says Tea Party sucks and they run out. Because they're so cool, aren't they? They come running into the chat room with a name like Rambo, and they should have a screen name like Neutered, because that's the way they behave. The Tea Party meant something, folks, when Ron Paul came up with the new Tea Party, but when it started getting co-opted, it didn't mean a lot anymore. When the GOP wanted to co-opt the Tea Party, and the Democratic Party wanted to co-opt the Move On groups, and the Occupy groups, what did you expect? This is the fascist way. They work together. They don't want anybody else working against their monopoly. They don't want anybody else working against their oligarchy. Have you seen the t-shirt that says, ready for Hillary? Well, yeah, ready for oligarchy. We just talked to you about what the administrative people are making just in Jefferson County Public Schools. Then you go and look at what some of these retired police officers make, 6 figures. And then they have a pension about half of that. And they all come down from the Northeast because they can't afford the taxes up in the Northeast. So they come and bring their pensions down here to the South. And then they want to run for office down here and they'll say, well, we're Republicans. Yeah, well, you're Republicans up in the Northeast. We're named Rudy Giuliani and Michael Bloomberg. Those are the kind of Republicans you had up east. But you have these Yankees and halfbacks up in New York and New Jersey. They're exporting their idiocy down here to the South. That's their major export. And they love the wars. You got Dick Cheney. He's right there with Alan West. Boy, who was ever named more appropriately than Dick Cheney? Just think about this, folks. For those of you all who love the war party, you went through these wars with a president named Bush and a vice president named Dick and a secretary of state named Colin. So as the aforementioned late, great George Carlin said, no wonder it felt like we were taking up the ass because you were dealing with a Dick, a Bush, and a Colin. And I'm sorry to use sophomoric humor on you there, but it's not funny what they're doing. It's not funny what they're doing to your country. It's not funny when you look at the IRS scandal that's going on. Oh, the neocons, they might come out and agree with you on that. Who knows? But we saw they don't agree with us on the Tea Party. We saw when it comes to people like Dick Cheney and Bush and Colin Powell, they got no use for lower taxes. They've got no use for less government, right there with the Harry Reids and the Hillary Clintons and the Barack Obamas. And before then, remember, we had the Tom Daschles. And we got Miss Plastic Surgery over there in the House, Nancy Pelosi. And I was actually in the car today, and I unfortunately had the misadvantage of hearing part of the Rush Limbaugh show. And here came Dick Cheney and his daughter Liz Cheney. And I can't remember if she's the lesbian daughter or the straight daughter. I'm not really sure. But here they came on the radio, and here came the water carrier, Rush Limbaugh, trying to help them carry their water. And they were telling us about the dangers facing America. Remember Liz Cheney? Yeah, she is the lesbian daughter. I couldn't get them straight there, folks. Liz Cheney was there on the airwaves with Rush Limbaugh and her father, Dick Cheney. Remember her? She was the one who was going to run against a conservative. She was the one who was going to run against a conservative and was all for the gay rights. And she knew that her daddy was there part of the Bush Brain Trust that was responsible for the prolonged and expensive occupation of Iraq under the delusion that we could take 6th century savages and turn them into 21st century metrosexual Republicans under a government that allowed Sharia law, persecuted Christians, in effect, kicked us in the ass. That's what we know about Liz Cheney. She's the lesbian who wanted to run against a conservative candidate in a GOP primary, finally decided against it in a rare moment of a drunken stupor and commonsensical wisdom. And she and her daddy, Dick Daddy, thought that we were going to take on these 6th century savages and we were going to turn them into 21st century neocon bisexuals in three-piece suits. And so many people think that we got to have our troops involved. But you know what, folks? Go look up this whole ISIL thing. Go look up the fact that the U.S. government helped train these guys. Go look it up. You know, you may not like the way our country has handled the recent deployments, but, you know, I want to bring the guys home. They'll say that we're burying our heads in the ground if we don't get involved in these wars. But what good did it do to go out and kill Saddam Hussein? Those guys had a balance going there, Iraq versus Iran. Maybe they should read what Sun Tzu wrote. Maybe some folks should read The Art of War, where he said, no nation prospers from prolonged warfare. The U.S. lost a 10-year war in Vietnam. Tell me what we won in Vietnam. The U.S. lost a 10-year war in the Iraq Gulf War, Gulf 2, Gulf 1, Gulf 3, on their way to doing the same in Afghanistan. How the U.S. barely prevailed against the USSR in a 44-year Cold War. The U.S. was united during World War II in a way it had rarely since been. Maybe from 2001 to 2002 they were united. But sometimes it's dangerous to be united because then you believe that your demigods and your deities that you've elected can do no wrong. You see, George W. Bush, the only thing he got correct was that the war against jihad terror would be a long one. I guess he decided that after he stood out there on the warship and said victory declared. But folks, just go back and read some stuff by Sun Tzu. Go back and read some stuff by Winston Churchill and find out what's really going on. Find out you don't need the water carriers like Rush Limbaugh and Dick Cheney and his daughter, Lesbian Liz, and all these guys. He wants to attack Rand Paul, and here comes his neocon affirmative action hire, Alan West, to attack Rand Paul. But Senator Rand Paul got it right. Rand Paul said, when talking to David Gregory on Meet the Press, that the same questions should be asked of Dick Cheney when it came to handling the drawn down troops in Iraq. Were there weapons of mass destruction there? Were they right in their predictions? Was the war won in 2005 when many of these people said it was won? Was it won when Dick Cheney said that they would love us and welcome us in with rose petals and just worship us? See, Paul's response comes after Cheney and Liz published this op-ed in the Wall Street Journal about the ongoing conflict in Iraq. And Rand Paul told the truth. Maybe there is no solution, but I blame those who are for the Iraq war for emboldening Iran. These are the same people now who are petrified of what Iran may become, and I understand some of their worry. So you all can call Rand Paul and the rest of us nutcases if you want. But he's not a warmonger. He's not one of the neocon hacks. Wish he hadn't endorsed Mitch McConnell. Wish he would have helped us on the other front. Wish he at least stayed neutral, maybe, or more neutral, if you will. You might even think that his debate with old David Axelrod was bizarre. But folks, Rand is telling you the truth about what's going on, and we can't have this perpetual war. You want to be war hawks. You want to be out there spreading democracy around the world. It takes blood. It takes human sacrifice. For what? For what reason? For what will you be willing to lay down your life for another country where they don't even like your democracy, quote unquote? They don't want to be like the United States. Why are you trying to make them like the United States? So it's time to stand up. You can stand on the side of reason and logic. The folks like Rand Paul and Thomas Massey and Raul Labrador and Justin Amash. Or you can stand over there with the war party. And it won't matter if you have the rat on your uniform lapel or if you have the rhino, because it's all the same war party pushed down your throat by the same junk food media, funded by the same globalist banksters. Keep drinking that Kool-Aid. Keep following your shepherd, your nation of sheep, and we sure hope that you'll open your damn eyes up.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.